Welcome to the Perfume Podcast, creativity, scents, inspirations. She's a coach and an artist with a deep understanding of human behavior because she explored by herself little and big challenges. Today is with us Katie Elliott.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Katie. Hi. And so you're the founder of Little Challenges. How did you choose this name for your coaching brand?
Oh, well, do you know, that's a funny question because it's a few years now since I chose the name and it feels like it's been there forever. So it's one of those things where I can't remember a time before, but obviously there was a time before. I think the reason for choosing that was because I found in my own life that when I set myself little challenges, I had much greater success in changing my behavior than when I tried to create goals for myself that were really big and ambitious. So that became the sort of central theme of all of the work that I now do.
So like finding little tools or little insights that may work much better than big plans or something like that.
Yes, yeah. And I think there's also within that, there's an idea of gentleness. So something that I've really learned from my own life and from working with lots of other people in the last few years is that as human beings, we tend to be very hard on ourselves. We tend to set goals that are very ambitious. And then when we don't always succeed, it's so easy for us to, you know, to be hard on ourselves, to be critical of ourselves. And what I've found is that with behavior change, it's always worth designing for success. It's worth setting the bar a bit lower and trying to clear it and building your sense of self-efficacy so that in time you can make the big difference, but you get there through breaking things down into little pieces.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you tell more about that, about your work with behavior change? Because I think this is very, very important for us, also in this moment, especially. Yeah.
Yes, well, I became fascinated by it because I had a number of behaviors which as an adult weren't serving me very well. And increasingly, I was having problems in my work life, in my relationships, in my relationship with myself, because my behavior was basically undermining my attempts to make things, to do things. I was getting in my own way a lot. So I became really interested in the subject of behavior change and read a lot of books and studied a lot of things and read a lot of research papers and most importantly talked to lots and lots of people who'd had different experiences. And so really my passion for the subject comes from using myself as a test subject and trying out lots of different approaches to behavior change and then trying to figure out what works for me. Yeah. Whilst also recognizing that we're all different. And so what works for me is unlikely to work in the same way for you. And that really the common thread that I find is that if we get curious and we get creative, then we can very often find solutions for ourselves. But I don't have a sense that there's any one solution that you can roll out that will be effective for everyone. I think it's a process of creative curiosity.
I love that. I love also the idea of uniqueness because I find this so true, so true. And we talk about creativity or curiosity, but it's really about being ourselves in some way and understanding also that, as you said, we don't have solutions. I mean, for that works for everybody. It's almost impossible, I would say. Yeah, yeah. And so also how creativity has helped you in your path?
Oh, it's helped me and it's hindered me. It's a double-edged sword. Yeah. So I've always approached life in a very creative way. I don't know why that is. I suspect it's partly because as a child, I was very lonely and I was left to my own devices a lot. So when I was a kid, we lived in the middle of moorland in Cornwall in the UK, and there just weren't any other children to play with for large amounts of my childhood. So I was really quite lonely. But the upside of that was I just had to find ways of entertaining myself because my parents were busy with other things. So I was kind of forced to be creative. Otherwise, I would just have been really bored or miserable. But I think once you get into that and once you discover how much fun you can have just imagining and making and testing, then it's well, for me at least, it was kind of impossible to stop. So that tends to be my default approach to everything in life. But that's not always, you know, there are places where creativity is great. When I'm doing my accounts, not necessarily such a valuable skill. You know, there are places where you don't want to get too creative. But it certainly helped me in this process of trying to figure out how to change my behavior, because when I was behaving in ways that weren't healthy for me, they were very often underpinned by a sense of judgment. And what I discovered was that the more I could get curious about my own experience and curious about what would happen if, and creative in trying different approaches, that opened up a sense of possibility and potential that is very, very hard to access when you have a more fixed and judgmental mindset. So something that's really central to all of the work that I do now is this idea of encouraging curiosity and trying to suspend judgment for as long as possible, really, to be in that space of not knowing and being really interested in the not knowing. Because I think lots of wonderful things come from there. So I feel like that's a fundamentally creative space to be inhabiting.
I love that. I really love that, because really, I think that creativity and judgment don't go together, don't move together. No, no, absolutely. And also I was thinking that your creativity has also been the inspiration, let's say, for a set of cards. You created the Amico cards. And can you tell us about that? Yeah.
Well, I created them out of necessity, really, because what I noticed was that once I started doing the work that I do now with Little Challenges, I was spending a lot of time gathering really useful evidence-based ideas that can help us to manage ourselves better. So to manage our moods and our emotions and our energy levels and, you know, procrastinate less and all of those kind of things. So I'd kind of gathered all of these tools together. But what I noticed was if I had a day where I didn't feel very good, let's say I hadn't slept properly or I was a bit miserable or I didn't feel very well, then I would realize that in that moment, I couldn't remember any of the good ideas, because something happens, you know, when you don't feel great, it's like a fog descends in your mind. And you can't see clearly anymore. So I realized that what I needed was something that would remind me of good ideas when I couldn't think of them for myself. Mm-hmm. So I started collecting these ideas just on little index cards on my desk, so that when I didn't feel very good, I could look through them and think, you know, have I forgotten to eat? Maybe I'm hungry, or maybe I need to take a nap, or maybe if I just go for a walk around the block, I'll feel a bit better. What are all these very, very simple ideas that we know can be effective in shifting our mood? And there were so many of them. At some point, it occurred to me that you could turn them into a pack of playing cards, which you could actually play games with, but you could use them as a reminder tool. So I approached a fantastic designer and said, would you be up for exploring this with me? And we created this pack of cards, which are very colourful and very visual, with the aim being that even on your worst day, you could leaf through them and think, is there something that might help me here? And hopefully there would be something that would just shift you a little bit in the direction of feeling better.
This is very interesting, because I also think that when we maybe don't know how to go on or how to find a solution, something also so little can really give us a hint. And this is really beautiful, absolutely. And so also I was thinking, do we have any advice for someone who is stuck? So if someone is in a stuck position, let's say, or is feeling stuck, what would you advise?
Well, I have a suspicion, I don't know, but I have a suspicion that even when we're really stuck, there's always some tiny thing that we feel able to do that moves us in a direction that feels positive. And it might be drinking some water, it might be phoning up a friend and asking for some help, it might be having a shower, it might be something that feels really small. But I think anything that creates a little bit of movement can be really, really profound. And that's partly why I created the Amico cards, because what I noticed was that when I feel stuck, what I tend to do is focus on big things. So I'll say, I'm never going to finish building that website, or I'm never going to manage that project, whatever it is. And what I'm doing is looking at something that is so enormous and that has so many decisions and moving parts that it's completely beyond what is possible for me in that moment, or in any moment for that matter. But there's always some tiny thing. You know, for example, if what I'm trying to do is build a website, then the first thing I need to do is make sure that turn my computer on. Even on a bad day, I can turn my computer on. And there are often, once you've done that, you think, is there another tiny thing I could do? Well, maybe I could spend 1 minute writing down ideas of things that I need to do for the website, whatever it might be. But there are, if you make it really, really, really tiny, then before you know it, you're moving a bit. And once you're moving a bit, that's a very different space to be in from not moving at all. And I think that's the crucial difference.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I really like this thing because, yes, I have seen many people looking for big experiences or big goals. And then normally they don't achieve even the smallest thing. So it's really about turning the perspective, yes. And I was also wondering how a community can help an individual path. What do you think?
Well, I'm fascinated by communities. And that's interesting because I'm not naturally someone who finds it easy to be in community. I'm quite shy and quite private. And I come across as quite outgoing and open, but actually I need loads and loads of space in order to process and to know what I think and to kind of manage myself. But the thing that I find wonderful and inspiring about communities is that we have this capacity to, through our differences, to create things, ideas or new ways of doing things that simply wouldn't be possible on our own. And I think of creativity as being where different disciplines or different ideas bump into each other. So often the most creative people I know are interested in lots of different things, and they'll take an approach or a type of thinking from one discipline. And then they'll say, oh, I wonder how that relates to something completely different. And that's where a lot of creative ideas come from. It's those kind of bumping togethers of different worlds, if you like. And so a community is a fantastic way for different worlds to bump together and new ideas to be formed. So I get very excited about the creative potential that is born when you have a number of different people coming together, because there's no way that it doesn't matter how hard we work or how determined we are, we simply can't do that as individuals.
Yes, it's really another dimension. And I was thinking about a garden. When you have all the flowers and plants, and surely they all together are really alive and beautiful, and it's much more than one single, one individual plant alone, let's say. So
Absolutely.
And so also, what's your next creative project? Can you tell us a little bit, just a little bit, not the whole thing, but
a little bit. So I'm about to embark on some travels, and that feels like a very creative project for me. So I know that I'm going traveling, and I think it's going to be for a long period of time. And I'm right in the middle of not knowing exactly how I'm going to do it or what it's going to look like at the moment. So it seems to me that with any creative endeavor, there's a bit where you don't know what you're doing and it's really uncomfortable. And I'm right in the middle of that uncomfortable piece at the moment. I can't go back. I know that I have to do something, not because anybody else is telling me to, but because I can feel that internal drive to do it. And at the same time, it's really intangible right now. And so I spend quite a lot of time looking for clues, if you like, paying attention to conversations that I have with people, noticing the dreams that I'm having, because I'm sure that there's knowing inside me in my subconscious that I haven't tapped into yet. So I think I'm going to be traveling for the next few years, and that I will be traveling in many different countries around the world. And I think the reason for doing that is because I'm very curious to understand what the concept of home and belonging means to different people. I've never had a really strong sense of home. And I think I'm trying to understand what home means to me by interviewing lots of people to find out what home means to them. And in the process, it will take me away from the place that's been my home for pretty much all of my life. And my hunch is that there'll be something about doing that and then coming back that will help me to see things in a very different way. But even though I have a hunch that I will come back and I will know something about home, I can't shortcut the process. So I can't just stay here. I have to go off and explore. And that's kind of the nature of all of the work I do. There's a compulsion to it. I don't often know why I'm doing the thing until after I've done the thing.
I think this is a very artistic process. I can recognize this also in me sometimes. When you create something really new, it's about yourself mostly. Why? Yes, because it's really something that moves us, and I love also the unexpected part that, as you said, is quite difficult, honestly, but it's really where the also the curiosity stays. So it's really where something beautiful can happen, I think also.
I think also there's something, and I know we've talked about this before, and we're of a similar sort of age and we've explored similar sorts of themes. And for me, I feel a shift happening in my life. I feel that in all of my life up until now, I felt like I had to be in the driving seat, that I was supposed to have some sort of control. I didn't, but I felt like I was supposed to. And with this new exploration that I'm describing, there's something about becoming responsive rather than directive. So I feel as if there's a responding to what is possible rather than needing to try and make a thing that I've thought of. And that's a really significant shift.
Yes, I can well imagine. I can well imagine, because our culture is quite a lot about directing things. But I think also that an artistic soul may be much more about connecting, receiving, and then of course doing things, but not really being always pushing, I don't know, really. Yes. So we'll see. Absolutely. It would be surely very, very nice and interesting. Absolutely. And so thank you for being with us today. And we will look forward to your journey. Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you so much. It's always a delight to talk with you.
Hugs. So see you soon next time in our podcast. Thank you.
Thank you.
You listen to the Perfect Podcast. If you're interested in creativity coaching through individual sessions or group inner journeys, please check my website archipelagos.space.